Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba the Bloom, episode 228. It's Tuesday night. It's March 25th. We are two sleeps away from opening day of the baseball season. Cannot wait for that, obviously. So we're going to have some fun on tonight's show, talking beer bets, player shares, and who knows what else comes our way as we get ready for the upcoming season. You can find me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. My co-host, as always, not sitting across from me like he was on Saturday, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How we doing, yeah. My friend?
Yeah, not with a Corona in my hand and a portable microphone in my other this time. We're back in our home base. It was great to see you, my friend. I know people probably don't want to hear us talk about Vegas again, but listen to the Saturday show if you haven't already. I thought that came off pretty good. And just super quick. Thank you to everyone in Vegas who came up to us, and we were kind of just telling each other, like, it's pretty wild that, like, all these people say they listen to the show. A lot of times we do these shows and, like, you post the link out on Twitter or whatever, you get a few likes or whatever, but it kind of feels like these are kind of your words. We're kind of speaking into the void. It feels like sometimes, cause we just put the shows out and we hope people take in what we're putting down. And at least last weekend, it definitely felt that way. So we appreciate everyone coming out and coming up to us and saying they enjoy the show. It means a lot.
Yep. It's the little things, as they say. It was really cool to experience. Michael C in the chat said the Vegas episode was awesome. No one minds hearing Vegas snippets. Yeah, it was.
We can throw some snippets in throughout. Old Bubba at the blackjack table. You know, doing his thing late at night, Saturday night. There was
Norman rocking the table, and then the cooler got brought in. That was
Tatiana.
Fun.
Tatiana came in. Tatiana came in for Norman and just took all of Bubba's money. It was pretty sweet to watch.
Yeah, Norman was on my side giving prep as hell, which was great. And then Tatiana comes in and just says, "We don't like you guys here," basically, and be gone. That's what that turned into.
Which I like Tatiana because I was waiting for the night to end, and she was very effective at draining your money. So
Bloomfield was a trooper on that one. About 3 hours later, then we finally heading out. There we were.
But all good. I'm a good friend. Yeah. I'm a good friend.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You saw me in my element. I used to spend many a times at those tables when I was younger.
You knew what you were doing. I was trying to follow blackjack and like splitting and double down, all this crap. I was like, what the hell are these hand motions?
From the age of about 18 to say early 30s. I spent a lot of time at casinos whenever I had a chance. So, yes, it was good times to say the least. But it was really cool. It was quick. It was like it was a business trip for a while, and then we finally got to let loose on Saturday, it felt like. So that was cool. But very, very cool stuff, and hopefully more stuff like that to come is what I'm looking forward to. Like now we know we can find ways to expand on FBAS even. Like with the tools we have now, we can do all kinds of different things, I guess, in that regard. And who knows what else. It's tough for us to like get together any other times because of our schedules and our situations and everything. But you never know. There's always options to find ways to make more content come to be. And that's what we say with the Patreon. You guys keep supporting us. We'll find ways to bring you cooler and more creative stuff. So that was part of it right there. That's a big part of it when that all came to be. We said when we started the Patreon, we will now go to Vegas, and there we did it. So that was part of it.
Put it back into the show. Put it all back into the show. So, man. This is our last show before the season starts, which is kind of crazy. Like this is going to be pretty. I think for the listeners tonight, it's going to be kind of informal. We're going to recap our beer bets, recap our player shares, just kind of reflect a little bit because, on Thursday. We will start, I guess we'll start doing fab previews, talk about opening day and do fab previews. So that is coming up. I've been working pretty hard on some in-season tools for folks. You guys will see this probably on Thursday. I'll kind of debut it, but a weekly planner that I think is pretty easily digestible that's available for our Patreon folks. A live daily updated spreadsheet of Bloom boards, which again, I think I've been working on and I think it'll be super helpful. And Bubba, you're putting out a ton of written content. So I think we kind of get you guys hit from both sides. So if you want to support the show in season, we, again, trying really hard to make it worth your while and keep you around. And I think also the Discord really plays a hand in that as well. So if you're interested in supporting us, please check out our Patreon. Patreon.com/BubbaBloom. We surely appreciate it.
Yeah, all of your news, weekly fab column regarding like 50% less rostered OC players, which also has a little schedule stuff there. But when we were at the airport heading out, we're doing our fab, and then Ryan had his fab done, and he found an angle he liked on the schedule that he tweaked a bit, and it actually was like, okay, this thing's really starting to get some legs to it, which is pretty cool to see that the Discord has got to see little snippets of what you got working up, and I'm looking forward to, because even like your minor league leaderboard, I was using that on Bench with Bubba tonight to talk about players. Like, and I've used it for my PT Tomorrow columns. Like, there's so many different levels to what's going on. I know people are probably like, okay, enough of the sales pitch, but I'm just trying to be like, I use it all the time too. Like, it's valuable stuff to me as we're getting this stuff done. Plus, something that we rarely talk about with the Patreon is you're going to get at least two, if not more, just Patreon only episodes that we've thrown out there. They're video only, but we've been doing those, and those will continue in season. So that'll come your way as well. So
are you done? What's the status? Are we done drafting? Are you done? Are you done?
Well, I was trying not to tell you before the show because I wanted to save it for this, but I told you when I left Vegas, there was a highly unlikely situation where I would be done. Now I'm signed up. I'll be drafting it on Wednesday in the 3 p.m. Eastern OC. It's already filled. One of our buddies, Steve Rushchick, who I got to draft next to in Vegas. He is in the 5 spot. I'm in the 8 spot. We have one CLQ in there. Dalton Del Don is doing his CLQ. Got to chat with him for a while in Vegas.
Yeah, we met him. I met him. You have met him before.
But yeah, I drafted with him in Barf a few times. But I got to get one more out. And then the NFBC, of course, throws out an 11 a.m. Eastern opening day one. And I'm like,
dude, if you join that one on a whim, like, I need to go down there, and we need an intervention. I'm cool with Wednesday. Thursday morning, that might be when I have to call timeout. I'm done, except for one draft, but I'm done.
So you're not done yet. You're not done yet.
I'm doing my underdog does a
I'm not even talking about that. So I'm still that doing that too. I wasn't even talking underdogs. I've been doing dingers all day.
Wrapped up my last one, my last season long actual draft tonight. With the old family league, had Papa Bloom come over. It was a tough scene for him. Forgot his laptop, so had to do the phone draft on ESPN. But I think he preset his rankings, so I think he did all right. But I am done drafting. I think
that's not what you said
after that underdog.
Yeah, you said you were done until I told you I signed up. You're like, you know, maybe there's this one available that I might jump into. I'm like, yeah, that's what I thought. Yes. Yeah. Just remember, after the season kicks off, we're done, folks. We're done for season long. So get it in while you can fit it in type situation.
Something like that.
Yeah. For anybody that's watching live on YouTube, again, it's kind of just a loose episode where it's going to recap some stuff. Throw like any bold predictions or questions in the chat. We'll get to you guys throughout the show. Also, just kind of make this a chill. Let's get ready for opening day situation and go through all the goodies there. Ryan was talking about doing news and notes, but just listen to Breakfast with Bubba. Got you covered over there with everything you're going to need for all that type of stuff.
More Vegas snippets. Breakfast with Bubba. That was fun. Breakfast with Bubba.
I want to go back.
Ribs Benedict, man. That was one of the best breakfasts like I've ever had. It was so damn good. Thank you, Jason Anthony, for inviting us.
Making that happen. Yeah, because like I like good Benedicts, but to top it off, it wasn't like it's in a muffin, an English muffin. It was on a bed of hash browns.
Hash browns.
It was just like, dude, it was just everything.
Little crunch at the bottom, like, man.
Perfectly cooked short ribs. It was, it was, not to mention a couple of morning screwdrivers to get the party started. So it was a good time.
Saturday was a long day.
Yeah, it was a long day. All right, let's get after it, because we could keep going down rabbit holes on Vegas if we keep pushing the right buttons there. So let's get into some beer bets. I think you said we only have 8 right now because of some players who are injured. Shocker, injured to start the season.
Yeah, had to cancel a couple. For those who maybe newer listeners to the show, don't know what beer bets are. Basically, all draft season, obviously, we record twice a week. Anytime we disagree on somebody, we try and push on a player. We try and push one another into a beer bet. And what those beer bets are is typically just like player versus player by the end of the season. Who's going to do better? We pay off our bets in Arizona, either via high noons for you, for your winnings, Bubba, or IPAs for me. And we mixed it up this year as well. We did a little beer bets contest for the Patreon. So every person who subscribed to the Patreon can enter their picks for their beer bets. Whoever wins at the end of the season will get some type of prize to be determined. Haven't really thought through what that will be, but it will be something at some point. So we'll also in our discussions tonight, in our recaps, add in what the patrons, what the Bubba and the Bloomers think of our beer bets as well. So it was kind of cool in the Discord. Everyone was like, oh, I'm, you know, 5-3 Bubba, I'm 8-0 Bloom, I'm, you know, 6-2 Bubba. It was a wide range of outcomes, which is good. That means like these beer bets are aging somewhat well. As you guys will see, some of them are we'll see, but some a lot of these I think have aged pretty well on the eve of on the precipice of the season.
He's not kidding. There was someone that had an 8-0 Bloom, and I was laughing.
We had an 8-0 Bloom. Yeah, I was like, damn, that's
like okay. That's like Fantasy Pros telling you got an A+ in your draft.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do an 8-0 Bloom, but I appreciate it.
All right, I got your questions marked, guys. We'll get to you after the beer butt section here. But what do you got? Let's have some fun with these.
All right, yeah. So let's do this. First beer bet up. And we'll kind of, I mean, this will all dovetail into player analysis and discussion, because the first one coming up, this is our first one way back. This was before we started doing, I think, position previews. This might have been a shortstop preview. It was my Mookie Betts of 20 pounds ago, 18, 27, whatever report you may want to read, versus your Francisco Lindor by end of season 5x5 value. I think at the time Betts was going ahead of Francisco Lindor by ADP, and that sure has changed. I don't even not like Lindor, honestly. I've taken Lindor in a few drafts. I took him in our listener league on Sunday at the turn with Vlad Guerrero as a 12-13, but I'm still okay with it. I obviously wish Mookie Betts did not lose 20 pounds. I guess he played in the freeway series or whatever they call it on Tuesday. So it sounds like he's at least gonna start the season. We'll see what the Kieber Ruiz effect does to Mookie Betts and if that saps his power. Not feeling great about the Mookie Betts versus Lindor, but I'm gonna stick with it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see how it happens. I think Lindor almost back-to-back 30-30 seasons. I think we could all say pretty deserving of the first-round pick, pretty deserving of a play better than Mookie Betts. Betts went 0-3, by the way, in his game tonight. I was just checking that out to see.
Hey, he was well enough for 3 at bats. That's all.
That's honestly what I was more interested to see, is like how long did he play for? So three at bats is actually good, because they said he's expected to be ready for opening day. Again, time will tell there, but I'll take my chances with Lindor. I like Lindor versus a healthy Mookie Betts. Not ashamed to say I'll take a discount at any time.
Just say, do I get odds? Do I get odds on some of these? Come on,
the noon tastes the same either way. no, because as we go down the board, I think things have shifted in your favor as well. So we're just going to leave.
I actually hard Mason disagree. Wynn
doesn't have Mason Wynn doesn't have a wrist or an ankle right now, so I think we're going the wrong way.
You could argue he didn't have any wrist power last year either. So Jesus.
Get to him in a minute. But yeah, Lindor season.
Just to quantify this a little bit, so in our beer bets contest with our patrons, we've got 63 responses so far, which is awesome. Thank you all for participating. 89% Francisco Lindor, 11% Mookie Betts. If I look at main event, NFBC main event ADP since the Saturday Vegas drafts, we are going to do Francisco Lindor at, if my mouse works, Lindor has an ADP of 14 and Betts at 19. So maybe the gulf isn't that wide. So, odds.
It's not wide. It should have been wider beforehand, but yes, that is correct. All of Lindor, smart group of people in the Discord. I've always said that, so that's good. We'll see if that changes here in the next couple bets, but yes, great start from the crew. John Fish in the chat, welcome, our friend. Hope you're doing well, and you have like 4 more drafts to go besides your main event on opening day, like you always are in. But yeah, that's 1-0 Bubba. is what it feels like.
I would not make this bet again at this moment if I had to. But if Mookie was fully healthy, I'd stick by it. But no, this isn't Lindor hate. I have taken Lindor a few times. So.
Smart man.
All right. Next up is this is the one. This is Mason Wynn. This is versus your Mason Wynn versus my Bo Bichette. This was obviously on the shortstop preview as well. 84% Bo Bichette. So 84% of our patrons on my side for this one. 16% on Team Bubba. You kind of had like a, I won't say a love hate with Mason Wynn, but you were in on Mason Wynn early in draft season, and then it feels like everybody was in on Mason Wynn.
That's the problem.
And you were a little bit tepid by the end, if I have that correct.
I was tepid for the fact that I loved Mason Wynn at his ADP, and then everyone got in on Mason Wynn, and ADP kind of didn't work anymore for the skill set that I was shooting for what I like. I'd have to expect him to take an even bigger step forward for where he started to get drafted. And it just, that's why we talked about it as our previews went on, where our pockets of ADP went on, that like Dansby Swanson was a much bigger target for me. Jeremy Pena in that situation. Like I even took Swanson, I believe, on Sunday in Vegas. So those would be more in my wheelhouse than Payne for Mason Wynn, who I think is still going to be very, very good. But the jump he took in ADP was pretty, pretty wild by the end of the season. We always have a handful of those type of guys, but he might take the cake on that one.
Do you buy much into the Mason Wynn is hitting ninth late in spring training thing? Like, we'll think he might not lead off, or does that even matter? Like, that can change so much throughout the season.
It's definitely less than ideal, because one of the reasons I kept saying I loved Mason Wynn was because he was going to lead off and score a ton of runs. And it does look like Lars Nootbaar is going to be the dude to lead off, which is definitely going to put a damper on things. But that would be my biggest problem with that. Mason Wynn's ADP since Saturday in the mains is down to 177, as low as 215, because to Fish's point, Wynn is a value again, I think. Yeah, now he's getting back in the range, because he was getting up to like 120. And I'm like, that just
probably shortly after the infamous "I want to steal 30 plus bases" quote. Yes. Like that seemed to be around when Mason Wynn was going up. And still, I mean, really, nothing has changed with Mason Wynn except a terrible
horrible spring.
And we'll see about the wrist. I don't know if that's that much of an issue, but projections still have Mason Wynn like 15 guy hitting 260. I don't think he hits 15 home runs. Whatever, we'll see.
I think the power's there, but hitting ninth, not what I was planning on when I showed my Mason Wynn love, and I'm pretty sure I'm not alone in that situation. I'll say that much. But I'm still rooting for the kid, because obviously lots of early shares. Go get him, Tiger.
There's a lot that, like, that noon or that IPA is gonna taste either damn bitter or damn good, because I feel like I was on an island on Mason Wynn when the bet came down. I'm not rooting for someone to suck, but if Mason Wynn doesn't pan out this year, I won't be crying.
See, Fish is in my boat. He was in on Wynn, kind of backed off, now back in. So, yeah, we'll see what happens in my OC tomorrow.
All right. You want to take the next one?
I don't even have the sheet up for your bet. Right. Oh, no, I do. Never mind. I'm an idiot. It's right in front of me.
Didn't you print it out?
Nope, because I did not want those shares pictures on my printer. That would break the thing. All right, this is one that should be a slam dunk Team Bubba here. I can't wait to see what the Discord has to say. It's Bloomfield's Aaron Nola.
Not versus who you hate. You just cannot stand Aaron Nola.
No, there's two things. Let me clarify this real quick for the listeners. I hate the comparison to Dylan Cease, just flat comparison. I hate that. They're going different ADPs, different skill sets, different talent levels. I don't mind Aaron Nola at his ADP. It's just more Ryan has made him so sour to me now that I want nothing to do with Aaron Nola at this point in time. So it's Aaron Nola versus Spencer Schwellenbach, 5x5 value. And honestly, I love me some Schwelly in this one. Yeah. I know you don't hate Schwelly either. This is just more you're planting your flag on Nola to make a point, it feels like.
Yeah, I'm
Schwelly's a little got the ceiling Nola can't find right now.
Like, do you remember how this actually came to be? Because I don't remember. Why is Spencer Schwellenbach in this?
I'm guessing I challenged you to Cease versus Nola because you were so adamant about
it. I know you did. I declined. I declined that.
So then I started finding pitchers around the same ADP as Aaron Nola, and you finally agreed to Schwellenbuch.
Yeah. You know,
I was pretty much taking anybody you let me around Nola.
Okay. That sounds about right. And yeah, like right now, Schwellenbuch 55 ADP, Aaron Nola 93 ADP. So the market is firmly in Team Bubba. Our Bubba and the Bloomers are at 76-24 split Schwellenbuch over Aaron Nola. So I'm not feeling too hot about this one, but I don't know. Put it like 60-40, your edge. A lot of lot of ball to be played, a lot of season left. A lot of time and room for Spencer Schwellenbuch to kind of regress back to someone who we didn't even know existed this time last year. So I don't think I ended up with any Schwellenbuch in any of my teams this year.
Yeah, you had to be aggressive for him. That was the tough.
You part. Did.
You're going at an ADP of 55. Like we've talked about, getting three or four hitters early, and a 15 that take you out of him essentially, unless you're going three hitters. But usually we go closer because of the certain formats you're in. Yeah. It was just tough to get Schwelly unless you're good with being aggressive pitching early, which you and I really didn't seem to get to that point this season.
And even like I didn't end up with much Aaron Nola, to be honest. Because what?
Well, you look at the pitchers going around him right now. I was waiting for this part to come up. Like, you love so many other guys around him right now that have ceilings above Aaron Nola.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about ceilings, but just like Shota Imanaga, Logan Webb going right ahead of Aaron Nola. Bailey Ober was around that range, at least earlier in draft season. God, guess who's the pitcher in Maine's the last 3 days going right after Aaron Nola? It's Christopher Sanchez. I have it right here.
Christopher Sanchez is 6 after Aaron Nola. I'm like this.
I would take Nola over Christopher Sanchez, I think. Like, come on, people.
I think we all love Christopher Sanchez, but let's be real. Like, if he continues his spring training ascent throughout the entire season, well, kudos to you on that one. It's kind of how I feel about it because I think we all know he's good. Maybe he takes a step forward, but top 100 pick, that's a heck of a jump.
Yeah. I'm still holding out hope for Aaron Nola to outperform Dylan Cease. I didn't want to do a beer bet on it just because I would need it. It'd have to be a twofer. It had to be a two for one. You get one noon, I get two IPAs. But I don't think there's that crazy of a world where Nola outperforms Dylan Cease. See,
Bloomfield's trying to poke the bear here and get me going to throw a bet out there. But
see if it works.
He had his chance in Vegas. We made one bet in Vegas. He had a better chance there. Let's put it that way. He did here when I had two tall boys on a Sunday and a few other things going on. Like, you had your chances.
Yeah. So I don't know. That one's still very much up in the air. Next one, no idea why this one.
Yeah.
Like,
I saw this.
I looked at this. I actually have no recollection of this beer bet happening, which is a little bit concerning for my own brain. But we've got, and it's just a random first base.
Had to be a first base preview.
Had to be a first base preview. But like, so it's my Yandy Diaz against your Andrew Vaughn. Like, something tipped us off.
They're almost 100 picks apart by ADP.
Diaz ahead of Vaughn.
Yeah. I'm guessing we saw the projections and how similar the projections were when you look at the two of them.
Yeah.
And that's when I put my stance down. Because you've, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, it feels like you've been more of a Yandy Diaz guy just because like the batting average, which you can get late, all those kind of things. But like Vaughn's projected for 256, 25 home runs, 82 RBIs from the bat. And then you look at Yandy, who's projected at the bat for 278, 20 home runs, 75 RBIs. So better average, fewer homers, fewer counting stats.
Slightly fewer counting stats. Much better average. That's why, I mean, I actually was pretty into Yandy Diaz in draft season just because he is one of those rare, especially at like first base, which got kind of doom and gloom pretty quickly. One of those guys who could get you batting average, but also like 20 homers is not nothing. That's not a Luis Arraez type deal. And I think the counting stats in what I think will be a decent Tampa lineup in a better park. Like I'd like Yandy Diaz quite a bit in draft season. The beer bet from the patrons have it 76-24 Yandy Diaz over Andrew Vaughn. Andrew Vaughn, like, I don't know. Is there another level to Andrew Vaughn, or is he like a Ryan Mountcastle
And Ryan Mountcastle, I take over Yandy Diaz. So you continue with that.
What? You would take Vaughn Ryan Mountcastle over Yandy Diaz?
30 plus bombs this year. Yes. Yes, I will.
Can we add beer bets to the beer bet episode? Dude, that's right absurd.
Now. That's absurd. Okay, give me Mountcastle.
It's not that absurd. You're good.
Yeah, I was about to say, come on.
It's not as absurd as Andrew Vaughn against Yandy Diaz.
Don't be go Norman on you and treat you like Preppis. Don't get me started here. But yeah, I just look at Vaughn and I know there's another level, at worst, a floor with Vaughn. His biggest deterrent for me is his team, obviously. But right. I think you're pretty much locked into 20 plus homers, 75 plus RBIs. I think he's a better hitter than we saw 246 last year. I think 256 to 255 to 270 is a world he can live in. And Yandy Diaz is so like enamored by having to get the BABIP because he hits the ball so hard on the ground to get that batting average that if like anything starts to tweak at all for him, once you get, he's not getting anything else. So that's my mindset there.
Certainly a mindset.
And I think the other argument is why take Yandy 100 picks before Andrew Vaughn when they're not that far apart?
Yeah, I just like Yandy better. Like, I think the 30, 40 points of batting average is super valuable. So we'll see.
And as Steve in the chat points out here, Yandy had 54 RBIs in 145 games last year. So
that's not great.
That won't help you win a bet, my friend. Won't do it.
All right. So you sound quite confident in this, and you shouldn't.
Well, I have to. I'm a trash talker. So here we go. All right. The next one, one of two Wyatt Langford bets we have on the dock here. So like my teams, we'll get to later. Wyatt Langford is important this season.
Yeah.
So I got Wyatt Langford, of course, Team Bubba, going with Wyatt against Bloomfield's guy he loves every year, and he just never gets it done. That's Michael Harris the second. So it's Michael Harris versus Wyatt Langford, 5x5. I'll let you have the floor because you're the Michael Harris guy. I claiming 20-20 with a batting average, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the market agrees with you. Like, Wyatt Langford was helium. I don't get this. Like, why was he so helium at the end of draft season?
You haven't listened to me all draft season.
Nothing. No, but like, I mean, what changed with Wyatt Langford? I don't get. Whereas, like, a Christian Campbell didn't change at all, and he got named to the team. I'm not comparing those two. I didn't understand the Wyatt Langford like super helium up to the second round in 15 teamers late. So the market likes Langford over Harris, right? Langford 30, Harris 47. On the Patreon, Harris is at 33%. So you got a 2/3 advantage. Wyatt Langford's at 66%. I just think the Wyatt Langford, and we're going to disagree on him all season, I'm sure. I just think even if you take the second half times two of Wyatt Langford, which I think is still like a pretty aggressive take. He's not a top 30 guy, even if you do that. So I don't get that. Maybe I am like this Michael Harris, like lover it just doesn't make sense. One thing I will point out, and this may mean nothing, it may mean something. The live bloom boards that I was kind of making, we're going to talk about earlier. We'll publish out to the Patreon. Michael Harris had the best improvement in K rate in the last month of the season of any hitter in baseball, and he tied for third most barrels. So I could be nothing in September, but major gains late, major power to go with those strikeout gains. I like that a lot. It's not the first time Michael Harris has improved in the second half of the season and thrown a dud, relative dud, the following season. But I just think somewhere, at some point, Michael Harris is going to go nuts. And I think, again, not to sound like a broken record, but I think the batting average floor with Harris is much higher than Wyatt Langford's.
The batting average floor is, I'll give you that. But I think Langford, you know, projections don't agree with me on this one, but projections don't project young kids very well either. I've always said I think Langford's a 20 home run floor with 30 stolen base upside. Like, I think that's a tremendous season there. That means he should score a ton of runs for the Texas Rangers on an offense we talk about being so darn good. And to the helium, yeah, he climbed a lot, but I think you and I can at least agree on this, and a lot of people can agree as well. He was one of the names we all looked at right away in ADP and said, he's far too far away. Like, why is Jackson Merrill going like 30 picks ahead of Wyatt Langford? Stuff like that. Like, Wyatt Langford went ninth in our too early mock to Steve Weimer. Like, ninth round, I mean. Yeah. Langford, unfortunately. Langford, like, just out the gate was a guy that was underappreciated due to maybe the rough first half, some injury concerns, whatever it was. But I think a healthy Langford, obviously, you need a healthy Harris. He hasn't proven to be healthy either. So there's two guys that haven't even really put a full step forward in their career. Langford's a lot shorter than Harris. Harris had multiple chances, didn't do it. But it's an interesting bet. I guess I've always wondered why, and this isn't even at you, just in general, I've said it on the show, is why does Harris always get this automatic like top three round pick when he hasn't proven to be a top three round talent yet? That's always been my question.
Fair. Yeah, the projections actually have them homers and steals basically the same, 21 homers for both of them, and then 18 and 16 steals if you combine Steamer and the bat. Harris is higher up because of the batting average, got like 20 points on Langford. But again, like you said, a lot of projection systems are, there's a lot of noise with rookies and second year players and that sort of thing. So we shall see. I just think, I don't know. I was on the HQ radio podcast yesterday with Patrick Davitt, and we do the boons and banes and that sort of thing. And Langford was my biggest bane. I think at some point he's going to be great. I think you're paying for a lot of it to happen in 2025. So I don't know. We'll see.
We shall see, my friend. I'll let you have the next one. Then I'll take the next Wyatt Langford one.
This one pissed me off. Because you're so like gung ho about Garrett Mitchell. I forget which draft stream it was. You were in my ear about Garrett Mitchell for like four rounds, and I just never took him. And then I also, there's the legend of Garrett Mitchell, who I forgot to rank in my outfield rankings for the Patreon, and just kind of lean into the bit and didn't even do it. So came up with a beer bet of Garrett Mitchell versus Jesus Sanchez, and really liked that. Felt very confident in that despite Jesus Sanchez's struggles against lefties. I thought Jesus Sanchez was primed for a very big season. It still could be till the oblique happened. So this is one where I will admit I am behind on. The Patreon has Garrett Mitchell 73% to Jesus Sanchez is 27%. But as a lot of folks commented in the Discord, I think it'd be a lot closer if Jesus Sanchez was healthy. But I didn't cancel this one because I know Garrett Mitchell is going to get hurt at some point. So it'll leave
out. Oh, that's rough. Right. Hey, folks, Ryan's rooting for an injury. Watch out.
Yeah, I'm a bad person. I'm a bad person.
You're going full Kurland on us right now. This was actually a pretty – well, they're all – to me, when we make them, they're pretty even bets for the most part. This one really was, because it comes down to Garrett Mitchell, the 15-15 floor that I think he has, but I also think he's a 20-20 guy. Like, if he really puts it together, batting average concern, kind of like a poor man's Wyatt Langford to me, actually, is how I see Garrett Mitchell. Again, I'm more optimistic on him than most. I haven't swayed you on him yet. I think he has to prove it to sway you at this point in time. And Jesus, it was tough because I think I like Jesus as well.
You like Jesus.
It's not like I'm picking on someone that, like, no, I don't want this guy anyways. So, and I think Jesus was in line, and if he doesn't miss a lot of time, we'll see. But he's one of those late round, he could hit 30 home run dudes. Like, he's going to hit cleanup for Miami. He's going to play every day. They started letting him play versus lefties towards the end of last year. They have really no reason not to play him every day with that roster. God, like, looking at what's taking place and seeing him and Norby went down, good Lord. It just came out like speed. Can Sanchez run enough? Because his average will kind of be the same as Mitchell. That was kind of the difference. So I thought it was a pretty fair bet. And it still could be. All it takes is one IL stint or a hot couple of weeks from Sanchez and we're back. So we'll see how that pans out.
I did drop Jesus Sanchez in my 12 teamer that I took him. It had to happen. Anyone who's not like even a mid round pick who's out for 4 weeks, it's a little tough to do that. So, I kind of put you one that one was our fantasy pros during the live on air. I proposed that one. So I put you in a little bit of a tough spot, right. But, this next one was a Vegas beer bet. Our final one, Wyatt Langford again. Yep. Obviously, we did not know at the time that Wyatt Langford was already involved in a beer bet. So I doubled down, I guess, in true Vegas form and put him up against Jackson Merrill, who I'm like surprisingly high on as a youth. I don't like too many of the youths early in drafts, but I like Jackson Merrill. I'm at a 70-30 advantage in our Patreon survey. between those two. So I'm liking where I'm at there. Again, this is more just me fading Wyatt Langford at the price. But you have concerns about Jackson Merrill, don't you?
It's a couple things. And the reason I brought this up is, like, all these guys are on the move when we're walking around the rooms. And Merrill was going around pick 26 of late. And Langford jumped up to, like, pick 29. So there were a couple drafts where Langford jumped them. And I'm like, yeah, as it should be. And you were like, what? And that's kind of where the discussions started to come around there, just walking around looking at boards. And, I don't know if I doubled down or you doubled down, because you get two outs, basically, where I'm stuck with the same guy is what this comes down to on this one. With Merrill, Sammy Reed, and when I did the Padres preview, really opened my eyes to him, to the point that, and it's just speculation as a fan from Sammy, but he obviously is more in tune to the team than I ever will be. And he believes Merrill's very good. He believes Merrill can be very good someday. He doesn't know if Merrill has it in him to take a big jump yet. Like, he like overachieved last year, essentially. And what they saw, like, could he do it again? Who knows? That's the question I have. Like, we haven't seen Langford have his peak yet. We might have seen Merrill have his for at least a while, is my concern in that situation. So I'll take the guy that we haven't seen peak yet, if I'm going to gamble, than the guy that maybe we know what his floor is. Like, that's who he is right now, if that makes sense. So that's my Langford versus Merrill situation. And also, just in drafts in general, like, where Merrill was always going was, like, originally Jackson Churio was hanging out there, so I was jumping all over that. There's always been other guys around him that I've gravitated towards instead of Jackson Merrill.
Whereas I'm going to take the guy who's actually done it in the majors before and why, and over the guy who hasn't, especially when they're close to the same age. So,
yep, that has been a trend of ours for time after time after time. All right, the final bet that we have here, this is a battle of the lefties. And a battle, again, I somehow decide to take bets where the ADPs are way far
away. Well, this is just innings pitched.
That's true. Because Robbie Ray's a top 100 pick now. Nestor Cortez is 239. I've been a big fan of Nasty Nestor's, obviously, and my thoughts on Robbie Ray have been well discussed. I think he's super talented. I just don't trust the workload, one would say, and you don't trust the Nestor Cortez workload. You're in Dr. Dave's camp that thinks he's the most likely to hit TJ this year. So we just had a fun bet that was like, hey, regardless of outcomes, regardless, who has more innings pitched this year? Literally, both of them could have six ERAs, have two IL stints, but in the end of the year, if it's 98 to 96, we have a winner. And that's all it is. So, it's who pitches more innings. That's what it's a pretty simple one, actually.
This one can't be canceled. This one can't be canceled because it's just innings. So, yeah, I'm team Dr. Dave here. I'm sure Nestor Cortez went in there was like a rogue Tommy John draft by some of the folks in Vegas, drafting, like, morbidly drafting people based at where Tommy John surgery is the only category. I'm sure Nestor Cortez went early in that one. I just worry about how Nestor ended the season. Robbie Ray obviously got hurt, but came back, like, looked okay. It was a hamstring. It was those tight pants. I'm a little bit surprised he jumped that high in main event drafts, like you said, going around 100. So that's a little pricey, but the people are with me on this one. Bubba, 71%. Robbie Ray to 28 for you. So,
yeah, I'm not surprised they are. That checks out. So the way I sounds is it's 5-3, Bubba, by quarter of the people. I just top of my head.
Man. Roughly 5-3, Bubba, with the caveat that I think a lot of people would have voted Mookie Betts and Jesus Sanchez if they weren't injured or ill. So it's pretty even.
So that'd be 5-3 Bloomfield.
We'll just call it. We'll call it 4-4. I think it's pretty even. We're pretty even.
Gotcha. All right. Before we get to our shares, let's hit up some questions in the chat here. Adam says, I also couldn't resist and jumped into one last OC tonight. Boy, Bubba, it was a wild one. Lots of ADP jumps, falls. I have no shares type of reaches by everyone in the draft. I usually do a YOLO OC every year. So I'm fully expecting that. Adam had another comment later I wanted to mention. I got Langford at 65 in that draft tonight.
Okay.
Ridiculous. That's ADP. A lot of pitching went before pushing him down. That is outstanding. And to his point, so I did three OCs last year. Remember my very last OC? pitching got pushed up a ton. It felt like a main event almost compared to every other OC I did, which was way different.
I can get behind Langford at 65. Good room.
Yeah, I can get behind Langford. Oh my gosh, this is going to be too much fun. Sean Burks, Burksy, you're going to go hang out with Burks on Thursday. Question, your biggest surprise demotion is Evan Carter or somebody else?
It's got to be Carter, right?
Yeah.
And I wasn't even that big of a Carter guy, but I didn't think he'd get demoted. Jesus.
That just seemed locked in. Like Bubba Chandler, I expected. I'm not happy about it, but I expected it. Evan Carter didn't see that one coming at all.
Yeah.
Biggest surprise player to make an opening day roster?
I mean, the big one, well, I don't know if it's the biggest. It's the surprise that comes to mind was in Anaheim, Jack Kohanowitz getting in over Reed Detmers. It's just like, what the hell are we doing? Guy has the lowest strikeout rate of any pitcher last season, starting pitcher last season. Just feel like that's not going to end well. It may not end well with Reed Detmers either in the bullpen, but that was, I'll just say that was surprising.
It was surprising. There's no doubting that. I will highlight the fact that in Double A last year, he did have a near 20% K rate. He's had 17% or less. He's shown the ability to strike guys out, so he's not as low as we saw in the bigs, but still, yeah, nothing ridiculously good by any means. One for me in a similar vein of like, okay, I thought he'd make the team, but I didn't think this would happen. Ben Brown's in the rotation, folks. Ben Brown is the starter with the Cubs. Like, whoa, let's go. Like, that was one of those, okay, we're dancing. We can see this one because everyone's going to point to Cam Smith, Christian Campbell. Like, I get that. But Ben Brown is kind of like early in the season, people were clamoring for it. Then it's kind of like the conversation died. And then here we go. News drops on Tuesday. So that was pretty cool.
I want to say I dropped Ben Brown in Fab this week.
That would sting a little bit, but possible.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, you might want to reevaluate that one.
Too late now.
I meant like relook and see if he actually dropped him or not.
Yeah, he's not on any of my teams. I thought I had him on a team, but whatever.
Xavier Jones says saves plus holds head to head. You want Ryan Kirkring, Jeremiah Estrada, Edwin Uceta, or Porter Hodge?
I dropped Ben Brown for Andrew Heaney in Wirth. Hey, man, Heaney gets Heaney
stream.
The...
Want that Heaney stream. Yeah, I get it.
That Heaney stream. Let's see.
Yeah, I got you.
All right. Save plus holds, Kirkring, Estrada, Uceda, Porter Hodge. I just go with the best pitcher in this case, and for me, that's Ryan Kirkring.
Yep, 100% agree. Even Fish in the chat said the same thing. Give me Kirkring for sure. If I have a second, it's Estrada. But, yes, pretty much almost the order you have them in, essentially, is where I would be going with that one.
Yeah.
All right. Fish, John Fish says, 90th percentile outcome. What are they for Langford and Merrill?
I mean, you're just going by prospect reports at this point for that. And everything I've read is Langford has the better 90th percentile outcome, I think, than Jackson Merrill. Like Wyatt Langford was a pretty much consensus top five, top three fantasy prospect, whereas Merrill was what, like 20th, something like that. So, I mean, I'd say Langford has the higher ceiling. It's just what's the odds of Langford hitting that in 2025 compared to what Jackson Merrill just did last year? So,
yeah, if I had to give a number, I'd say Langford 275, 25, 40 in the 90th percentile. I'd go that crazy with it. But Jackson Merrill's probably a 30-30 guy hitting 280. So it's like it's still a hell of a season. Both very, very good, obviously. A few others here. Michael C., just as I was getting on the Ray train, the ADP flew up. The Scooble changeup is a game changer. As a Giants fan, I hope so. So that would be pretty sweet.
Kevin dropped Ben Brown in a league. So thank you. Thank you for joining me there. I like Ben Brown. I will try and pick him back up next week if that could happen.
Yes, sir. Frank says, if spring training doesn't matter, why is Mason Wynn batting ninth? That is a great question, Frank. We talked about that briefly early on. Not ideal, to say the least. And I agree with Jimmy. Evan Carter will be up this year. I said it on Breakfast with Bubba that drops tomorrow morning. I said, basically, once Evan Carter starts hitting consistently well at AAA, pretty sure that phone call is going to get made. I don't see that being a long situation there. So, okay. Jimmy says, Bubba, Tomoyuki Sugano, AL Rookie of the Year. I think it's not a bad option. I think he's going to have a big, big season. So, any thoughts on Sagano?
I like Sagano. I always harken back to our show with old Tom saying Sagano over, I think he said Sasaki for this year before they both signed. This was back in November before before both signed. So yeah, I will appeal to authority with Tom Mulhall on that one. Sagano obviously is much, much, much cheaper than Sasaki.
And then we have an Uncle Ted sighting here. Kyren Paris has been on fire this spring.
That's your guy.
Yes, completely agree. I wrote him up for a PT tomorrow, started paying more attention. And it was like right after that, he started crushing it. There's rumors he might start a second. There's a lot to like with Kyren Paris. Lots to like on that one. All right, let's do some shares, Bloomfield. Let's have some fun with this one. You want me to share my screen or what do you want to do here?
Let's blast your team, okay. Your shares first. Now,
to preface, I tweeted out my top like fab ones. That's the one request I would have. It's like to take the like the draft and holds out and give me just the fabs at times. That would be pretty good. But here you go, everybody.
And real quick, so this is that looks good. This is NFBC shares, and if you want to see your own, if you're newer to the NFBC or whatever, you go into just any one of your teams, and at the top you click on stats, and then you click on player shares. This is what we're looking at here, and then you can filter on like specific games, but like to Bubba or specific formats. But to Bubba's point, it would be nice to have a fab versus draft and hold versus eliminate gladiators, that kind of thing. But whatever.
Yep, I digress. So since there's draft and holds involved, Albert Suarez is my most roster 50% of my teams because I'm in the draft and hold. I'm just looking for innings because he'll pitch pretty much every fifth day. Not well, but he'll pitch every fifth day. Now to the guys that matter. Luis Garcia Jr.
That's a lot. 10 shares.
Yeah,
because he's early. Like you don't want. I don't want to say you don't want. It's more meaningful to have bunch of shares of these middle early round guys than like an Albert Suarez.
Yeah, so that's why with Garcia, I know for a fact it was either I'd be in a draft room and it's like, okay, I'm taking Garcia, which we talked about, or I'm waiting at second base. And the reason I would take Garcia Jr. is the projected batting average. Like he's projected at 282. He's proven he can hit for average. We saw some power and speed. As we talked many times, the longer you go down the draft board, average starts to disappear. So to get that kind of wrapped up there, because as much as you can get like, you know, double-digit homer and steal guys at second base later on, they all hit like 240 to 260. Like they're not hitting great. So to get the enhanced average on a team that's going to run crazy and score a lot of runs this year, I'll take that with Luis Garcia Jr. all day long. So
what are you doing with Garrett Mitchell, man? 9 shares? Putting your money where your mouth is. I can respect it.
Yes. That's the thing. Is like I might talk a lot of trash and joke around a lot, but if you look at my player shares page, it's my dudes. Like I've
and that gone is what I've said. I mean, likewise on my side, we do not hide information. We the players we like are the guys that we draft, and this is pretty indicative of that because you have been incessantly talking about Garrett Mitchell.
Well, he's good. Pretty much every the show. Dude's got 20-20 potential. He's extremely young, top type prospect in a good Brewers lineup, especially the top half that should score a bunch of runs. Like, I don't see what's not to like about Garrett Mitchell. So that's why I'm just really confused by your disdain for this man. But to your point about us, like, we go after our guys. That's why the listener league drafts are the worst. Like, and I say that sarcastically because I love doing our listener league drafts, but I don't get my guys. Like, the one in Vegas on Sunday, you have to jump ADP like 2 to 3 rounds at least to get them. That's what it comes down to. And that's tough to turn that switch on at all times. Devin Williams, top closer. I've said he's the number one closer in the game for me, so I backed that up on 41% of my leagues.
Just real quick, sorry to interrupt, but like, so you love Devin Williams, but like, to me, that's a lot of faith in one guy, especially as a closer. He's really good. He's really good. But if he goes down, like, almost half your teams are screwed because getting a replacement closer is very tough.
To be fair, it's a DC, a gladiator, a DC, OC, 50-50 auction. So it's four fab leagues.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And most of those I already have three closers in. So I can dance. Okay. I can dance and go and pick up another closer. Seiya Suzuki in 8 of those leagues. Huge Seiya fan. Some may say he could be, you know, special this year. So I'm really, really liking Seiya. You kind of aren't as in on Seiya this year, though, compared to normal. Like the last couple of years, it's been a bubble in the bloom thing for Seiya. It's kind of just kind of calmed down a little bit.
Yeah. No, I like Seiya. I am just worried about the recurring oblique multiple years. If we get a full season of Seiya Suzuki, fully healthy Seiya Suzuki, he is an absolute monster when he's healthy and rolling. And I do hope for Seiya's sake, and for your sake, I guess, that it happens this year. But I have kind of drifted a little bit away from Seiya. I think have a few shares, but certainly not as many as you. And I may certainly be regretting that at some point this year.
Kyber Ruiz, catcher 2 on 7 of my team. Yep. So that was a discussion point all season. Luis Angel Acuña, that's a lot of draft and hold formats. That really doesn't pertain to this. Same with Brady Basso, who I love to get starts in Oakland, but now he's hurt, so that probably won't happen.
Oh, there's Jesus. Dylan Cease.
top starting pitcher on my board when it comes to shares. Just throwing that out there. Money where mouth is. Dylan Cease on 7 of my 22 teams. I'll have to scroll for a while to find an Aaron Nola. But Dylan Cease, 7 teams. Again, backing things up right there.
I guess.
Tyler Stevenson, big time. That one stung. Mackenzie Gore is another one that could be fab relevant. Most of these next guys.
Mascot, are Slick Willie. Click on your teams for Slick Willie Castro. How much Slick of that Willie is draft and hold? Because you've got 7 shares of him.
Gladiator, DC. They're all draft and holds.
They're all draft and holds. That's interesting. That's why I wanted you to kind of drill down into that. Is we've said it before on the show too. Is Willie Castro just being second, third, short outfield? Yeah, like we don't think he has the highest ceiling out there. Like I think Rengifo's like still our true.
I still have him. I have 5 Rengifo shares. He's down here. Right next 5 Rengifos.
But no, it makes a ton of sense that Castro is very draft and hold centric for you because that is where he is most valuable.
Then I find that interesting. So I had 7 Ruiz and I have 6 Austin Wells. And I've talked about my catcher 2s very often.
There you go.
So that's 13 of the shares right there. It kind of stands out in a big way.
You got my guy on here, Lodolo.
Dude, 6. I've been on that train with you all year. I've said you've convinced me. I've been clicking that button often. I have nothing bad to say. He's one of those guys that the only concern I've had all season about his ADP was just total innings this year, just because he hasn't had the workload in recent seasons. But to be fair, you know, get the innings early, see where it goes. It's never been an arm, never been an elbow, shoulder, any of that stuff like we've talked about. So I'm cool with that for sure. Anybody else you want to make fun of me for, or would you like to
I've made fun of you enough for Wyatt Langford, and there you go, 6 shares, 27% of your teams. You got Wyatt Langford there. Joe Adell, that could certainly turn out to be very good. You've been a Joe Adell guy for a while. You've backed that up this season with 6 shares. And then I'll throw some Bubba Burgers out there. Not a sponsor, but could be. Should 6 be. Shares. Should be.
I might have to buy some of those to barbecue on Thursday. I think that's only fitting. Opening day, get some news, some Bubba Burgers. Get ready for the show. Bring them. I'll eat them on air while we talk about baseball. Like barbecue them up. Have them right here.
Yeah.
Kidding. All right, your turn.
I've still got a bunch in my fridge. My kids like them, but I haven't had one yet.
Good.
All right, I'm going to bring up the squad here.
Hey, I'll stop sharing my page. You can do yours now. It's all yours. Yeah, can't wait to see what Bloomfield has here. His is a lot nicer because he knows how to utilize
look at that. You know,
stuff that's like
beautiful.
This.
We got formatting.
Yeah, he also format. No. Oh, whoa. Talk that trash, boy.
All right. First off, I will point out far fewer leagues.
Yeah, don't insult our people.
I did the math there. I won't insult too many because there are some in the chat with a bunch more leagues than you. So 6 shares for me is my most. That is Randy Arozarena on brand. Took him, I think, in like the 7th round of the meatball draft last August, before things kind of still really went downhill in August, September for Arozarena with Seattle. But I mean, I've made my case about Randy Rosarena all draft season. Pack that up, and then the good doctor, Dr. Fauci in Miami, starting to. I don't know.
The vibes around him being the closer started to get interesting.
No, he may not be the shot in the arm that I thought he could be for saves. So Calvin Fauché is a little dicey, but we'll see. Like, if that doesn't pan out, it's, I think typically it's been like 27th, 28th round type of thing for Fauché. So it won't kill me, but he is my third closer on a bunch of teams. Got a few five share guys. Yusei Kikuchi, who I was in more in on early in the season. I did back off a little bit after the Angels signed him. And I think the price kind of went up a little bit for Kikuchi, where a lot of folks liked him as well. Chaz McCormick, just that's more a draft and hold, or even in fab leagues, but sixth outfielder, someone who's at least going to start every day and who I liked last year. So I'll go there. Hayden Wesneski, I've talked about. He's another five share guy for me. Really like him going to Houston. If I'm going to talk about the Yusei Kikuchi effect and what Kikuchi did, or really what Houston did with Kikuchi once they acquired him, I feel like they see something with Wesneski as well. We got the bus driver, Otto Lopez. I have waited. This is kind of a theme that we've talked about in draft season with us, is waiting at second base. We feel like there are at least a few options late that you can go there if you're going to wait on a position. Otto Lopez for me was one of those guys. Kenley Jansen and Nate Eovaldi, of course. Bloomboard's child, and then Jansen, we both like as a kind of that RP2 who we think has plenty of leash in the role. So those are my five share guys. I don't know if anything else sticks out to you, Bubba, from this list.
Some things that stick out to me is five of your first eight are pitchers. So you found an area of pitchers you like to target, which you've talked about with Zeske is one of your late targets over and over. You mentioned Kikuchi. Two of those five are closers, and they're either closer two or closer threes. So you found your late round closers that you like to target, it feels like. It makes sense. Again, talking to you at least twice a week while we do shows, and other times these are your dudes. I like seeing Randy at the top, because that's fitting for you've as maybe some interest in Randy has wavered this preseason. You have been fully on board, and like we even talked about with people in Vegas, it was like, the dude's been 20-20 for five straight seasons. He hit .217 last year. Yes, that sucks. But even in doing so, still went 20-20. Like, that's tough to do year after year. Like, we talk about floor plays. Like, that's something you can pencil in 2020, barring an injury. That's pretty sweet.
Got a comment from Jimmy in the chat. Blooms is Pablo Lopez, I wager. I wish it was. I only have two shares of Pablo Lopez in the NFBC.
He kind of got scared off Pablo at times. Like where he was going and other pitchers around him, it seemed like you weren't all as excited anymore.
I think I just took him in our listener league draft. I don't know. It's weird. I don't think I took him in, because this doesn't include labor and tout. I don't think I took him. I know I didn't take him in labor. I don't think I took him in tout. But Pablo Lopez, no, I didn't take in Vegas either. Took him in our listener league and in WERF. So I don't know. And then no draft and holds. That's really weird.
Yeah, but that is very interesting.
Sometimes you like a guy and you don't take him, which really, does that mean you like him that much? But no, I still love Pablo Lopez. Only two Christopher Sanchez shares. That's right next to Pablo Lopez. So I'm going to be...
That ADP on the climb turns you off of him. So you've said that a few times even before tonight's show. That rise made things a lot difficult. A lot more difficult.
Did get Sanchez, I think, in tout. So it's technically three shares, but NFBC only, it's two. Who else on this list?
Belly bombs.
Some nice injured guys. We got Sean Manaea at the four share level.
Yeah,
he might be back soon. Four Logan Gilberts for me. That's aggressive, because I mean Logan Gilbert is an SP1, similar to your Dylan Cease. To have that much tied up in one single starting pitcher, I don't want to say it's worrisome. I believe in Logan Gilbert, but that's going to be boom or bust there.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of pitchers just in general, because you have Gilbert, Managa, who you've talked about a ton as well, Manaea, Lytle, Hader, Lodolo. You've peppered your pitchers and differentiated with your bats, it feels like, much, much more.
which kind of makes sense. Draft season, I have been pretty adamant on the pitchers that I like. So again, who the hell knows what's going to happen with them? But I'm at least practicing what I preach here with these shares. So Ahmed Rosario, 4 shares. That's you.
That's you. That's on brand.
Josh Hader, 4. That's also on brand. I think we both like Hader. For me, that's a lot to be tied. I mean, similar. I can't call you out for your Devin Williams and not say I've got Kenley Jansen and Dr. Foucher and Josh Hader near the top of my list as well. So have some big time closer collateral tied up in just a few guys.
Yes, yes, you do. So see how that pans out. But I like obviously like some of these guys in a big way. Other ones. You could get
against who's your least favorite one of these shares?
Well, I'm not gonna say Rosario because that's a DC play.
Like normal people.
It would probably come down to Gleyber Torres, but you're getting him at a cheap ADP. But I would just wait for someone else at second base when it comes down to Gleyber's a guy that can't get behind in Detroit.
Yeah, and I don't know, maybe that's my cop out. Maybe I drafted Gleyber before he went to Detroit. We'll just go with that.
Yeah,
it did. I mean, it did sign. It was my first DC, December DC, and then the last DC. So, and a Gladiator. So it's not really that much Gleyber.
That's fair then. Then my biggest gripe is Cody Bellinger. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, which no, you know, I mean, we have talked about Cody Bellinger, so I get it. Yep.
Yep. All right. If you're good, got some more listener questions in the chat here. I got queued up here. So Frank says, fab thoughts on Alan Rodon.
I don't know much about Alan Rodon, to be honest, in terms of like prospect pedigree and that sort of thing. I just, in terms of like the playing, that's what you have to ask yourself. Is the playing time going to be there? Is it going to be regular? And I have my doubts. I have like visions of like last year, Spencer Horowitz, Davis Schneider, like bunch of part-time guys up there. And I don't know if that's the case with Rodon or not. You may have a better feel on that, Bubba, than I do, but I just feel like Alan Rodon is like a late helium prospect that I don't know. I'm not diving in too much on.
He's got a great hit tool. My biggest concern with him, Alan Rodon, that is when Varsho comes back, is he the casualty? Because Varsho's should be back right. By like the second or third week in April, they're projecting. That could change, obviously. Is Alan Rodon the odd man out? Does he get sent to AAA? Does he get sent to the bench? Lots of questions there. So, yeah, go ahead and write it out, but I wouldn't break the bank and fab to your question, is what I would say. Like, put bids in, see where it goes, but don't go crazy. Jimmy says, Nat stacks for the win. Yes, we've been preaching that all.
We love the Nats, especially in best ball formats or whatever, then anything that value steals, the Nats run wild and they've got an exciting ass lineup.
Yep. Kevin Hastings says Tyro was my most rostered. Now it's Mikel Garcia.
Okay.
Well, the unofficial mascot. That's good. That's a start.
Yeah. The Tyro news is freaking heartbreaking. That was at, when did we find that out? That was sometime in Vegas.
We woke up Saturday morning to it.
Yeah.
We woke up Saturday morning. It was in the Discord and we're like, oh no.
Yeah,
that was dreadful. Well, we knew he was hurt, got hit, and he's going in for x-rays. Then we found out when we were standing in one of the rooms, he took a picture of me looking for my shares.
Yeah, so that's right. That's right.
Michael C. says, I'm living in the past, have a ton of Rengifo. Nothing wrong with that, Michael. Enjoy them. Have fun with it. It's worth it.
Pray for a healthy hamstring is all I can say there. I think a healthy Rengifo is going to be awesome. But yes, play for healthy hamstrings. Good point.
Yep. Xavier Jones says Casey Mize, Reese Olson, or Jeffrey Springs in a head to head. Reese.
Probably Reese. Casey Mize a close second.
I'm with you. Casey Mize a close second. I talked about him with Ben earlier today because he was a popular fab pickup. And my only concern with Casey Mize is like he threw, I think, around like 90 innings or 75, like one of those. Not a lot, that's what I'm saying. So I think at best you get 130 from Casey Mize. So that'd be my only downside. But if you're just playing him for now, you can drop him.
For now, yeah.
Might be Casey Mize, actually. Strikeout upside. Humble Bumble Duck says, good evening, fellas. Hope you had a great time in Vegas. Ready for the season to start. I chose to not to take any pitchers this year until round six at the earliest. Hope it pans out. I don't hate it. We saw some drafts this weekend that did pretty well with that.
The infamous Bubba OC beat Bubba OC strategy of, what is it, ninth round?
It was seven hitters, one closer in the first eight rounds. Then we went four starters in a row. Yep.
I did five hitters in tout, I believe. So I don't know if I'd go six like that often, but I think this is a good year to do that. It can work.
Yep, it's definitely a year to do it. Humble Bumble also says Rodon is a good OBP play. Agreed. He's got skills. I just don't know how the playing time will pan out. Michael C says, question for a guy on a lot. Are you just rolling Sonny Gray? Mystery injection, now the flu. Twins aren't that scary, but I don't know.
So I actually, it's funny you mentioned this, Michael. I almost put in the Discord today that I don't know if I'm starting Sonny Gray this week. I would have started him before finding out about the flu, but yes, the lower velocity in spring, now the flu. I need to see, right, like who my other options are, but Sonny Gray is absolutely not a must start in the first week of the season. It may be wise if you have a good streaming matchup or something, just to see how he looks, what the velocity looks like, et cetera, given all the recent concerns that I have for my guy, Sonny Gray. I liked him a lot in draft season.
Yep, for sure. Our buddy Corbin Young on the Twitter, he says, why will Chris Bubich and Casey Mize break out in 2025? No bias here.
Mize will break out because he will be better in his second year off of TJ, and I want to say he's going to fulfill that number one overall prospect pedigree, but at least see some of his prospect pedigree in a really good park.
Yeah, yep. He also says, my bold negative prediction is fade all Dodgers starting pitchers besides Dustin May because of injury risk.
Interesting. I could see that. Why not?
Yeah, I just fade them all. Gerald Points says, drop one. Fitz, Bubich, or Roop? Fitz. Drop one. Ty France, Rodon, or Aranda? I drop Aranda.
Keep France. Keep France and see what you have with Rodon.
Oh, yeah, wait, they're 15 team keepers, by the way. So if it's a keeper, drop France, keep Aranda and Rodon.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. No. That makes sense. Yep, that makes sense.
Yeah, he says, I want in on a Las Vegas draft next year. Come on down.
So do we.
Yep. BG says, can you help me understand Andrew Vaughn's projections versus ADP? Thank you. There's your thank you gif.
Okay. He's no Yandy Diaz.
Say more importantly, can you explain to me Yandy Diaz's projections at his ADP? That's the one you should probably point to.
No, Yandy Diaz is projected to be much better than Andrew Vaughn. Thus, he's going earlier in drafts.
We're never going to agree on this one.
And the projections have Vaughn as a $9 player, Yandy Diaz is a $12 player. Just better batting average.
Give me one second here. We're gonna really check something out here. We're gonna go to the fantasy player rater for last season.
Fantasy player.
Let's see how these guys did. This is fair. This has got to, projections be damned. Let's just see who finished better at the position. And we have Andrew Vaughn coming in at 27th at the position, and Yandy Diaz at 23rd. So right next to each other. Yandy Diaz returned $3.50. Andrew Vaughn $1.70.
That backfired. Yeah, good thing we don't play in a 2024.
That doesn't deserve 100 pick differentials, my point.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, time will tell.
Humble Buck says Vaughn would be so much more valuable if he improved his OBP. Agreed. 1,000% agree with that. He'd also be more valuable off the White Sox. Uncle Ted says, what is the most relief pitchers you would start in a main rotation? Three at the most.
Yeah, three at the most. Yep. You want to go four. It's too, you can fall back too much in strikeouts if you start doing that for too long.
Yeah, but when you put a bunch of relievers in, that's late in the year when you're trying to chase saves because you're right. Okay everywhere else, basically. Yep. But to start the year, three at most. Probably only two. All right, Ryan. We're going to wrap it up there. Last episode of the off season in the books. Opening day Thursday. You're going to have a good day and then have to come back and talk to me about it. So it'll be great.
can't be a totally perfect day. I've got to come back.
And, I know. It would be a perfect day if we just recorded while we watched games all day. That would be awesome.
That would be fun. Yep. No, no other thoughts other than play ball. Thanks for hanging with us this draft season. It's been awesome to see this grow and see it rise. So let's flip over to in-season mode. We'll start doing Fab on Thursdays, and there we go. We're off and running, my friend.
Yep. Just because the off-season is done doesn't mean we don't have a ton to keep doing here in-season. So keep joining us. Bloom boards and more on Tuesdays. Fab previews on Thursdays. Lots of stuff on the Patreon. So come support your boys. We promise we'll keep giving it back to you guys along the way. Make sure you check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm Matt BD Intrick. This is Bubba and the Bloom, episode 228. Catch you all next time.